Welcome to our international listening audience at Krishna.com as we complete the second half of our story, Binding Sri Krishna. Now all the ropes in Vrindavan joined in a fruitless attempt to bind the master of the universe. It is impossible to tie up bliss, wisdom, power, and consciousness. So how can anyone tie up Krishna, who is made of nothing but bliss, wisdom, power, and consciousness? How could Yashoda bind one who has no inside or outside, who is limitless, who has no beginning or end, who has infinite power, who is the totality of everything, who is completely full and beyond any contamination, and who is within and outside of everything? Viewing the situation, the all-powerful Supreme Lord decided to bestow his mercy upon Yashoda. Even though Mother Yashoda eagerly desired to tie up Krishna, she met no success, despite her total exhaustion. The endeavor of a devotee to bind the Lord can only be successful with the Lord's sanction. All of Yashoda's work now bore fruit, because Krishna, out of compassion for her, suddenly allowed himself to be bound. Extending his mercy, he saved his beloved mother from further anger and frustration. Yashoda asked the assembled cowherd boys to watch Krishna to prevent him from untying himself and running away. Then Yashoda and the elderly gopis entered her private chambers. The moment Yashoda left, Krishna stopped crying, and his face assumed a peaceful and effulgent glow like the luminous moonshine. Krishna thought how to use his present bondage to fulfill a prophecy of Narada Muni. Previously, Narada had cursed two intoxicated and indecent demigods named Nalakuvera and Manigriva to become trees. Deciding to bestow his mercy upon them, Krishna dragged the grinding mortar tied to his belly along the ground toward those two trees. Krishna's playmates cheerfully followed him. From a distance, Krishna saw the two trees connected at the root. Similarly, a student will understand that Prakriti and Purusha originate from one source. As Karmakanda and Jnanakanda are separate paths, the two trees had different trunks. The Sama and Yajurvedas had various divisions, and similarly, the two trees had many branches. As a great king has the qualities of valor and achievement, as a mountain range possesses steadiness, and as a cluster of clouds is laden with showers, similarly, these two trees displayed an abundance of natural opulence. The demigods embodied in the two trees had become purified by suffering many years in that way, just as clouds abound in the rainy season and as water becomes clear and pure in autumn. As the universe is vast and broad, these trees stood stout and strong. Known as a pair of Arjuna trees, they reminded everyone of the great heroes, Arjuna and Kartavirya. Like Nakul and Sahadev, these two trees were also twins. Seeing Krishna moving toward the huge trees, his friend said, "Perhaps Krishna cannot tolerate the scorching sunshine, so he is seeking shelter under those shady trees." While his friend spoke thus, Krishna pulled the mortar over and got it stuck between the two trees. He who annihilates all pretenders appeared splendid with his curly hair hanging loosely over his shoulders. Though Krishna's body is pure and spotless, his character is colorful with wonderful varieties of rasa. With a slight jerk of the mortar, Krishna easily uprooted those two trees in a moment. A loud cracking sound filled the air when the trees split open. As a person pokes a hole in a clay pot, that unique vibration, which conquered all other sounds, raced through the sky to puncture a hole in the coverings of the universe. The sound exactly resembled the terrible noise produced by the fierce thunderbolts crashing at the time of devastation. Krishna remained calm and joyful amidst the tremendous sound. Krishna is eternally free, but he appeared to be bound by a grinding mortar. His character is eternally pure, but it was stained by his pastimes of stealing. Although he can liberate anyone trapped in material existence, he was bound by the loving affection of his mother. At that time, two effulgent persons emerged from the trees. Delivered from their curse, the two demigods offered prayers to Krishna. O embodiment of eternity and boundless bliss, you appear more attractive than a cluster of soft, beautiful, dark blue rain clouds. O glories to you! O glories to you! No one can understand the mysteries of your transcendental pastimes. You have appeared on earth just to enact your splendid spiritual sports. Along with your appearance came many mighty demons eager to fight with you. However, you always exhibited greater power and easily defeated them in an artistic fashion. Even though a tender boy, you have personally uprooted these two massive Arjun trees. You are definitely one without a second. You pour mercy upon everyone and bestow abundant affection to the fallen. As a common man enjoys different playful sports, you relish wonderful varieties of rasa in all your pleasantly artistic transcendental pastimes. Truly, you are the embodiment of auspiciousness, appearing in Vrindavan to benedict all the Vrijvasis. The moon, lord of the stars, becoming totally afflicted upon seeing the beautiful radiance of your moon-like face. The natural glow of your attractive lips surpasses the reddish color of a bimba fruit. You delight learned sages by cutting the dense vines of ignorance with the axe of your mercy. O Lord, who can describe the immense fortune of your mother who bound you to this mortar? What more can we say? Even Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Indra, and all the exalted sages in the universe do not possess even a fraction of a grain of the good fortune of Mother Yashoda. O Omnipotent One, even the greatest jnanis, Vedantas, and yogis cannot understand you, but you quickly avail yourself to premi bhaktis intent on hearing your transcendental pastimes as Nandanandana. O Lord, we want to become completely attached to your lotus feet, so we beg you to please reveal within our hearts the right prayer to attain this. Alas, show us how to live righteously by accepting the results of our good and bad karma. After speaking thus, the demigods proceeded northward and disappeared. Then the twin Arjun trees crashed to the ground. Their falling made such a terrible sound that it deafened the village ladies, as well as the four elephants controlling the four directions of the heavenly planets. All the Vrijvasis felt fearful. The sweet taste of bliss that Vrijeshwari Yashoda and the Vrijvasis had previously relished now suddenly disappeared. Becoming bewildered and fearing another calamity, they stopped their duties and rushed to that place. When they saw the huge fallen trees, they thought perhaps Mother Earth offered dandavats to Krishna Kumar with the arms of these tree trunks. The split open trees looked like the gaping mouth of the lower planetary systems. Its two branches appeared like two huge snakes rising up and desiring to go in different directions. The two trees seemed like the dead bodies of the demons Madhu and Kaitabha thrown in the ground by the Lord himself. When the Vrijvasis found Krishna, he appeared calm, fearless, and free from danger. Though only a child, Krishna looked like a priceless jewel ornamenting Mother Earth and assuring her of protection by his very presence. At that time, the Vrijvasis thought, "Oh, what is this? How have these huge Arjun trees suddenly fallen without being pushed down by the wind. In a second they have crushed and killed Krishna. But Krishna just stands peacefully between them, looking as fresh as a newly formed rain cloud. It is our good fortune that nothing has happened to him. For a long time, these two trees have stood here, troubling others. Now, due to old age, their roots have become rotten, and they toppled over from the weight of their leaves and branches. But upon closer examination, we see this is not the reason, because the roots, branches, and leaves are all fresh and hard. In various ways, the Vrijvasis try to evaluate the situation. While deeply drinking the pure nectar of Krishna's wonderful pastimes, Nanda Maharaj's face beamed with transcendental delight. The mind of Krishna also danced in jubilation over his recent exploit. Vrajaraj Nanda untied Krishna from the mortar and placed him on his lap. Then the expert and learned Nanda scolded his wife. "Nandarani, you have made a big mistake." But suddenly Nanda Maharaj remembered Garga Muni's prophecy that Krishna equals Narayan, and that all the scriptures proclaim his transcendental qualities. Thinking thus, Nanda concluded that no one but his son could have done this amazing feat. The friends of Krishna said,
"Hey, look what Krishna has done! Our spotless hero has done something impossible! Afraid of his mother, Krishna dragged the mortar over here. Then it got stuck between these two trees, and Krishna uprooted them."
None of the assembled Vrijvasis believed the words of the innocent children. Taking auspicious articles such as rice, argya, and durva grass, Nanda worshipped Krishna, who is the source and bestower of all benedictions, and who far surpasses Narayan in good qualities. Afterwards, Nanda brought Krishna back home to the accompaniment of musicians playing drums and cymbals.